Jonah chapter 1 tonight. Jonah chapter 1. Good to be saved by His grace. At the end of the day, if we're saved, no matter how good or how bad things are, we can always say, well, at least I'm saved. Amen. And that's a great thing. Nothing better than being saved. Amen. Nothing better than being saved. Hallelujah. Appreciate that song. Jonah chapter 1, when you find your place, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Bible, if you're physically able to stand. And we'll begin reading in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Comes right after Obadiah, between Obadiah and Micah. Little book of Jonah. And if you look with me in Jonah chapter 1, in verse 1, Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one of his fellow, Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do to thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. The sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for this service. Thank you once again for allowing us to meet together tonight. Lord, I thank you for the message you've put on our heart. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. I pray that you'd help it, Lord, to go out in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that it would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would do a work here among us tonight. Lord, thank you for the singing that's been done, the praying, the giving. I just thank you for the good day you've given us thus far. But Lord, we need your help now. Lord, I pray that you would give us that special touch, that special unction, Lord, that it takes to preach the Word of God. I pray that you'd give liberty tonight. Lord, that you would help us, God, to preach with a burden. Lord, help us to preach with a touch. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to say exactly what you'd have us to say. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move amongst us and would take, Lord, these words and these thoughts and drive them into our hearts, Lord, and do a work of grace here among us. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Just read the first chapter of this little book of Jonah, not but four chapters in it. And we probably all are familiar with the story of Jonah and probably maybe even grew up in Sunday school and hearing about the story of Jonah. Probably most everybody here has done that. And so this is certainly a familiar text and a familiar character in history and in Scripture. And what we find here is in the life of Jonah, you find that God has called Jonah to perform a task, a specific task that Jonah just flat out did not want to do. God called this man Jonah, who is a prophet, by the way, and called him to a specific city with a specific message, and Jonah did not want to go there. And so what he did was he ran from the Lord. He turned and he literally, if you look at a map, look at the direction he was supposed to go and the direction that he wound up going, he literally ran in the opposite direction. He went the other way. He actually ran about 2,000 miles, or that's where he set his sights for anyway. Tarshish is about 2,000 miles from Nineveh, where Nineveh was at this time. And that's where he had his sights set, 2,000 miles in the opposite direction of where he was supposed to be going. But what we find in Jonah's life, what we find in the whole situation, is that God persevered in Jonah's life and in his ministry. Jonah ran the other way. He ran from God. He went the direction he wanted to go, but God persevered in running him down. He sent Jonah into a prison to get his attention and to gain his cooperation. That's what he did. Now, in this strange prison, and it is a strange prison because it's not a prison with brick and mortar, it's a prison of flesh and bone with ivory bars. Amen. But it's a prison nonetheless. And God put Jonah there, and in this strange prison that God placed Jonah, he convinced his man that God's plan was and is the right plan. And I want to join Jonah tonight in this prison that he's in, that God puts him in, and deal with the truths that we find here in this prison that God placed Jonah in. I've been preaching on these prison experiences. I want to show you that you can run from God and run from His will, but you certainly cannot hide from God and His will. A lot of folks have tried to outrun God down through the years. A lot of folks. Many, many people, all through the Word of God and all down through history, have made up their mind that they did not want to do what God was putting it in their heart to do. Or they did not want to do what God revealed to them in His Word that they were supposed to do. And they made up their mind, they set their sights in the opposite direction and decided they were going to go their own way and do what they wanted to do. And they have found out the hard way that they can run, but they cannot hide. By the way, nobody's ever been able to. Nobody's ever outran God. You or me, we're not going to be the first ones. We're not going to be the exception. Nobody here will be the exception, the exceptional person that God will wink at their sin and let them go and do what they want to do if they're saved. God will persevere in our lives in getting us where He wants us to be some way or another. God will do it. And so I want to show you these things. I want us to look at these things. You know, if necessary, God, He'll send you to a prison to get your attention and gain cooperation from you, just like He did in Jonah's life. He'll do what He's got to do. So let's look together tonight in this passage at the prison of perseverance. The prison of perseverance. That's what God did in Jonah's life. He persevered in Jonah's life in getting him to do what he wanted to do. Just like in Samson's life, we notice the long road that Samson went down to wind up in that prison of purification that he wound up in. And we looked at that road, and we have to look at the same road in Jonah's life because it is a road that is traveled. Just like in Samson's life, it's not a road that has to be traveled, but it is a road that leads to this prison that that you would wind up in if you wind up there. First of all, just as in Samson's life, it's a road of disobedience. We find find that in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, God called him to go to Nineveh. He said, that great city, in verse 2. He called him to cry against it. Preach judgment. Tell them that certain judgment is coming. Their wickedness has come up before me. And let them know that judgment is coming if they do not repent. And Jonah flat out disobeyed the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and Jonah disobeyed the word. It is a road of disobedience. Again, God called him to a task that he didn't want to do. He went 2,000 miles in the opposite direction, really as far as he could just about go to get away from God. As far as in the known world of those days, it was just about as far as he could go. He tried to run to get away. He thought he could outrun God. He thought he could serve God when it was convenient for Jonah to serve God. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to serve God as long as God was calling him to the places and calling God to the things and using him in the way that he wanted to be used and going to the places he wanted to be to go and being doing the things that he wanted to do. But as soon as God called him to do something he didn't necessarily like and want to do, he made up his mind he's going to do something else. You know, a lot of folks are that way too. Oh, they'll serve God as long as they're reading in the Bible the things they want to read. As long as the preacher's preaching the things that they want him to preach. As long as they're hearing what they want to hear. As long as God's calling them to do what they want to do. But the second God puts a hard place or a hard saying or a hard thing in their life, they make up their mind, I'm just going to serve God when I want to. So Jonah did. He went as far with God as he wanted to go. And when God tried to take him further, he went the other way. And so it's a road of disobedience. Listen to me. You walk the road of disobedience, you'll wind up in the prison of God's perseverance every time. And you're not going to outrun God if you're saved. Amen. If you're one of His children, He will persevere in getting you where He wants you to be. And it might be really tough on you. It was on Jonah. It's a road of different disobedience. So you may run to you may not necessarily run to Tarshish in your body physically like Jonah did. You may not even run to another city physically like Jonah did, but you may run there in your heart. You may run there in your mind. You may make up your mind that you're going to go another way in another direction. And boy, we see that a lot in these days, don't we? And it's funny how you can see it. You see people and they're wearing the same old clothes. And they're doing a lot of the same old things, and they're still in church to a degree, and they're still kind of they're the same people on the outside, but it's just something there. You can see it in their heart. Their heart is in another place. Their heart is just simply go in a different direction. You know what it is? It's the road of disobedience. We see this is not only just a road to disobedience, it's a road to disappointment. You see that in verses 3 down through verse number 12, that it was a road of disappointment in Jonah's life. See, things went pretty well for Jonah at first. First of all, he was able to find a ship heading to the right place. And you'll find, if you was to study the history of this and the setting of the day and all those things, just the fact that he was able to find a ship going to Tarshish when he wanted to go is kind of a big deal. Because from what I understand, what I've read by men that are smarter than me, they say that in this day, you'd only find a ship headed that direction, going that far, once about every 6 months or so. It wasn't just every day. You couldn't just run and hop on a plane or just find a cruise ship heading wherever you want to go at any given day or time. I mean, it was few and far between that you could find a mode of transportation going that far to a city that far away. And so, boy, he looks like his luck is really coming together. It looks like he's really, I mean, you know, things are going right, smooth sailing, so to speak. Amen? You know, probably he could have looked at it and just the way it all seemed to come together, he probably could have justified it to everybody else and even in his own mind that he's actually in God's will. Evidently, this is God's will because it's all working out. Let me just help you tonight. Just because it's working out doesn't mean it's God's will. Just because it seems to be coming together for a period of time doesn't mean God is in it. Amen. Hey, listen, that's what the Lord talked about in the last days of the coming of the Lord. He said, you know, they'll be saying peace and safety. And then out of nowhere, sudden destruction comes upon them. Is that not exactly what happened in Jonah's life? Boy, the trip's coming together. He's found a ship that's like finding a needle in a haystack, but he found it. And he could say, well, I guess God is in this. I guess it is working out. I guess it is what God wants me to do. And he could justify that in his heart and justify that to everybody else around him, to the brethren that, hey, I thought God wanted me to go to Nineveh. And in his heart, he knows God wants him in Nineveh. But he could say, you know, I thought God wanted me to go to Nineveh. But hey, I've searched this other door. I've went this other path. And it's all working out. I guess God's in it. Looks like I'm in God's will. God's blessing me. I mean, how many times you heard that? God is blessing me. God's blessing what I'm doing. Amen. I've said it a few times about God blessing what we're doing. It's about us doing what God's blessing. And just because it seems like we're blessed and it seems like it's working out, doesn't mean God's in it. What Jonah wound up finding out pretty quick is that this was a long road of disappointment in his life. Oh, it seemed on the front end like things were working out and he'd found him a ship and he was able to pay the fare. He had the money to pay the fare. Amen. Hey, just because it works out and just because you got the money to do it don't mean God's blessing it. Amen. He had the money to pay the fare. Amen. And he was able to board the ship, lay down in the hull of that ship, and take some rest. He thought he was going to have a cruise and smooth sailing and rest a while and wind up at Tarshish and start him a new life in a new location. That's what he thought. And that's the way it looked like it was working out on the front end. But the disappointments came very quickly. Right away, it was one disappointment after the other. Let me just tell you, if you start running from God, you're going to find yourself very disappointed. You're going to find that the grass is not greener on the other side. It's still going to grow and there's still weeds in it. Amen. What you'll find is the grass is actually a lot more bitter on the other side than what you realize it is. Listen, the world makes it look greener and the contemporary movement makes it look greener and your carnal friends and lost family and those people around, they may make that lifestyle look a lot greener and make it look a lot better, and the devil will sure dress it up just like he does a fishing lure. Amen. But listen to me, the grass is not greener. The disappointments will come. If you're saved, God's not going to let you get away with going the way you want to go. Jonah found that out. I mean, just look at his life. Verses 4 and 5, you find out he was on a downward path. He was down in the bottom of that ship. And by the way, anybody that goes their own way is on a downward path. Amen. You can see it happening. It's always a downward path. It never leads to more holiness and righteousness. It always leads to more carnality and coldness. Amen. Isn't that right? It's happened every time. Every person, every family I've ever seen go their way, just like Jonah. It's never been an upward way. They've never been pressing on the upward way. They've been going the downward way, the downward slope. So he's on a downward path. Verse number 3, he had to pay his own way. See, if he's going God's way, God have him up on the upward way instead of going the downward way. And if he's going with God, God would have paid his bills for him. He wouldn't have had to pay his own way. God would have made sure he got to Nineveh. God would have paid the bill. God would have paid the ticket. Amen. But instead, he had to pay his own way to Tarshish. And by the way, you go your own way and it will cost you dearly. Amen. In verses 6 through 10, the crew, we find out, the captain and the crew, these pagan men, what they did was they wind up finding out who Jonah truly was. He confessed to them all that really was about him. And what it did was he actually lost his testimony. They couldn't even believe how awful he was living. See, if he'd have gone with God, God would have preserved his testimony. God would have set him up as an example. God would have used him greatly. Instead, he's going his own way and he's destroying his testimony. Amen. See, well, let me just move on there. Actually, I'm going to say it right here. A lot of folks, they think, well, I'll be able to reach this person or that person. I'll be able to reach my family. I'll be able to reach and preserve my kids. They say no family and no person has ever gone their own way and gone to the way of the world and reached anybody, especially their kids. You're not going to reach your kids, you're going to lose your kids. And I've seen it 100% of the time. Amen. He ended up in a place that he never thought he would be in verses 15, 16, and 17. Who'd ever thought he'd wind up in the belly of a whale? Who'd ever thought he'd wind up being thrown out of the ship? He never thought he'd wind up there. See, if he'd have gone with God, God had been using him in a mighty way, in a powerful way, doing tremendous things with him and his ministry. Instead, he's in the middle of the greatest storm of his life, fighting for his life, just trying to stay alive in a place he never thought he'd wind up. That's the road to this prison. Leads you down a road of disappointment. And by the way, the same scenario plays out in the life of all who choose their own path and don't go God's way. The same scenario plays out every time. There's never been an exception, and there never will be with people that are truly saved. Nothing wound up working out like Jonah really planned it. It was a big, fat disappointment in his life. Then it was a road to disaster. You find that in verses 4 through 17. You know, the first word of verse number 5, look at it. Or I'm sorry, verse number 4. Verse number 4, what's the very first word of verse 4? What's it say? But. That's it, but. In other words, Jonah, up to this point, he's made up his mind. He's going to go the way he wants to go. And then in verse 4, God butts in. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Jonah's got his plans. He's got his direction. He knows what he wants to do. But God. But God. You know what this wound up being? It wound up being a big road of disaster. It started with disobedience. Disobedience leads to disappointment. It's never what you think it's going to be. And the disappointment finally winds up in disaster. See, Jonah had his plan, but God had the final say in his life because he's God's man. Because he's God's child. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And whether we like it or not, if you're saved, God's going to have the final say in your life. And you go your way long enough, God will take you out of here. Amen. He's going to have the final say. He's not going to get off the throne for me or you or any of us. Anybody. God butted in. Even though Jonah had his plan, God had the final word. And God sent a storm, and God prepared a whale. And for everybody that thinks they're going to run from God and run from the Word of God, for everybody that thinks they know what the Bible says, but, and they know what God wants them to do, but, for everyone that knows that God's been dealing in their heart, calling them to do some specific task, or calling them to further commitment, calling them to deeper service, working in their life, and they know God's working, but they make up their mind, they're going to go their own way, just like Jonah. Let me just tell you, God's going to prepare a storm, and God's going to prepare a whale. Every time there will be storms and there will be a prison out there. Amen. So that road to this prison. Don't travel this road. Don't go this road. You don't have to go this road. You don't have to wind up where Jonah wound up. Just follow God. Just give God your life. Just go with God. And you'll be pressing on the upward way. You'll see God blessing you and using you just like Jonah could have. The road. But then, he did wind up in this prison, so we see the rehabilitation in this prison. God set to work in Jonah's life by putting him in the place that he put him in. The prison that he had him in. And this prison had the desired effect in Jonah's life. It wound up working out in his life the things that God wanted to work out in his life. First of all, you'll see his acknowledgement before the Lord. Look in chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Look in verse 4. It says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. All of that Jonah did and said from inside the belly of the whale. Oh, he wasn't praising the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I'm going to pay my vows and I'm going to praise you anyways. I'm going to after the storm had passed and after the prison was passed. No, he did that from inside the whale's belly. See, God put him down in there and got time to sit and think about. He had time to realize, listen, God's a whole lot bigger than what I've given him credit for. Amen. And that is just a fact. Anytime we think we can run for God, we've not realized that God's as big as what we give Him credit for. We think we're a lot bigger than what we really are, and we can get further from God than what we can get. And we forget that God's everywhere, and God knows everything, and there's no... That's where God got Jonah. And Jonah wound up acknowledging to the Lord the messes in his life, what he'd really been doing. See, we know that Jonah actually did get right, because out of the whale's belly, he prays, he calls on God, he confesses, and he gets right before the Lord. Matter of fact, he said there in verse number 9, basically saying, Lord, I'm done fighting, I'm done running. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do now. I'm going to turn unto you. So his acknowledgement before the Lord, but then his agreement with the Lord. Look in chapter 2, verse 3. That I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. In other words, again, Lord, I'm through running. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm your man. I'm your prophet. You've called me. I'm yours. And so I'm done running now. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to do it unto you. You know, salvation, part of salvation is a commitment. Part of being saved is a vow. It's a commitment and a vow and a covenant that we enter into with the Lord. It's embracing Christ and making ourselves a servant of His. Amen. And it's a slap in the face of God Almighty to make a vow unto Him to say, I accept Jesus and I plead His blood and I want to be saved. But then to still think we're going to do what we want to do. Jonah says, I'm going to pay my vows, Lord. I'm through running now. I'm done running. See, God broke him down thoroughly. He thoroughly broke him down. And for anybody that goes down the road he went down and winds up in the prison that he winds up in, I don't know what that prison is going to look like. And you don't know what that prison is going to look like. For Jonah, it was the belly of a whale, because God knew that's what it took to break Jonah down. But I don't know what it might be for you. I don't know what it might be for me. I'm scared to find out. Listen, it might be something terrible that you never get over. It might be something that leaves that where the scars remain forever. It might be some prison that God has to do something so drastic in your life that man, things are just never the same after that. Amen. See, the thing is, God knows exactly how to push your buttons. He knows exactly where to touch you. He knew exactly where to touch Jacob. Touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and he never walked the same. God knew right where to touch him. And He knows where the soft spots are in your life. He does. He knows. See, if you're one of His children, God's going to play second place and second field to nobody and nothing. And He knows what the dearest things to you are and the dearest things in your life. He knows what they are. He knows the things closest to your heart. And He knows that if He's got to take those things out of the way for Him to be the dearest thing, He'll do it if He has to. I believe that. Don't you? That's right. Billy Kelly used to preach that message. Set in your book. He'll burn out the dearest things to us if He has to. He'll put us in a prison that will break us down just like it did Jonah. Jonah got to the place he acknowledged before the Lord. He agreed with the Lord. But then we see his acceptance by the Lord. And that's the real important thing. It's not so important that he called, it's important that God accepted. His heart was right in it, Just like I said this morning, we know his heart was right in it because God accepted it. Not that he called, but because God heard. God accepted. And so we see his acceptance by the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. In verse number 10, it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Turn over to chapter 3. Look in verse number 1. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Chapter 2, verse 2, God heard his prayer. Chapter 2, verse 10, he delivered him from his prison. And chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he renewed his call in Jonah's life. God heard Jonah. Jonah got thoroughly right with God, and God heard him, and God delivered him, and God recommissioned him again and sent him on his way again. I just want to stop for a second and say, thank God we serve the God of a second chance. Amen? No matter how far we've gone, Jonah's running 2,000 miles in the opposite direction, getting as far as he can go, but we're never too far gone that if we won't thoroughly and completely and sincerely call on him and reach out to him, that he won't hear us, that he won't deliver us, that he won't still use us. Amen? God's never washed his hands with us. Amen? And I say praise God for that. Now you got to be very careful because sometimes you can, again, do things and get to a place where you just never get over it. You don't always get delivered from the consequences of sin. You can get delivered from your prison, but you can't always get delivered from the consequences of the sin. And so that's why it's still best to never go the road. But hallelujah, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And second chances is what God specializes in. I think he specializes in second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances in my life. He's been mighty long suffering with me. And I thank him for that. I thank him that he's always strived with me. I thank the Lord that he's always worked in me and not just thrown me off the wheel, but he's picked up the clay over and over and over, reworked the clay over and over and over. Amen. I thank God for that, don't you? Yeah. Last of all, we see the results of this prison. Jonah comes out of this prison that he's been in. He's a different man. Not even the same as he went in. What we find here is that God's man is changed. Chapter 3, verse number 3, it says, so Jonah arose and went out to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. He came out and he goes exactly where God told him to go, doing exactly what God told him to do from the very beginning. He could have done it first. But he goes to the prison and he's come out. He's a changed man. God's done a work in his life. And he goes right to the place where he's supposed to go. And the man is changed. Not only is the man changed, though, but God's message is preached in verse 4. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He goes, he preaches the message of judgment that God's called him to preach. By the way, it's easy to be hard on Jonah for not wanting to go to Nineveh. But if you know about Nineveh, you'd be able to understand why he didn't want to go. First of all of Israel, Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. All of Israel, I mean, it's well known that Assyria is going to come and take over, Israel. They're going to come and invade Israel. Nineveh is one of the most brutal people of that day. Matter of fact, what Rome would later do with the Roman crucifixions, that started in Nineveh. Well known that Nineveh would skin victims and war criminals, skin them alive, stake them on stakes and leave them there to die. This whole thing where they would bury people in the wilderness, everything but their head, and then leave them there to die of starvation and animals attacking. All that stuff started with Nineveh. Brutal people. And knowing how they would mistreat Israel and all the things, all the prophecies and everything surrounding that, it's no wonder Jonah didn't want to go. But the fact is, that's where God called him to go. The fact is, that's the direction God sent him in. And God had a message for those people. And finally, Jonah goes and he preaches that message of judgment to Nineveh. I don't know what God's calling you to do, but it's never been as hard as the thing God called Jonah to do. We can never say that God's called me to do anything harder than what He called Jonah to do. And even if it is as hard as what He called Jonah to do, we can still never say that we've been called to do something harder than what Jesus did. Amen. We can never say, oh man, this is too hard. Living for the Lord's too hard. And what He's calling me to do, what He's telling me to do, it's just too hard, it's too far, and I just can't do it. We can never say that. But His message is preached, and then God's mission is accomplished. In verses 5 through 10, what you'll find is that Nineveh repents. The greatest revival, best we know, the greatest revival in history takes place in that city, the city of Nineveh. They repented. They were got right with God. God stayed His hand of judgment. The entire city was converted, according to the Bible. You find as you read down through there that at least 120,000 children were saved. They estimate that the population of Nineveh at that time was somewhere around 600,000 people. And according to the Bible, they were all saved. They all repented because Jonah simply did what God called him to do. He simply went to the place. He simply preached the message because Jonah was simply changed in his prison and finally went with God. Now, he didn't have to go to the prison. But the fact is, and the point is, the message is that if we go our own way, just like Jonah, God is going to persevere. He's going to put us in a prison of perseverance to get us to the place that He wants us to be. And the prison of perseverance can be a hard place to live. And I've seen people go through it. I have had God, like all of us, I've had the Lord correct me and deal with me and do things in my life. But I can't say I've ever had it as hard as Jonah had it. Can't say I've ever been in a prison that bad. God's ever had to do something in my life that bad. Praise the Lord. And I'm not boasting of myself. That's just God's grace. Amen. Probably none of us have had it that bad. But let me just tell you, I have seen folks make up their mind they're going to go their own way like Jonah. And I've seen the prison experience come every time. And it's a hard road to hoe. It's a hard road to walk. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And it is hard. It's a hard place to live, but you don't have to. You and I, we don't have to live there. You all have probably heard the story about the father was on his way to the grocery store with his son who was kind of strong-willed, you know. Needed a few more whippings. One of those strong-willed kids. And he kept telling him, sit down, buckle up. And he wouldn't sit down and buckle up. Kept standing up in the seat and goofing off and playing around. And told him again, sit down and buckle up. Goofing off, playing around still. Finally tells him again that the boy, realizing that things are about to get serious, he finally sits down and buckles up because he knows dad's about to finally come down on him, you know. And after he finally sits down, he finally buckles up. His dad says, thank you for sitting down. Thank you for buckling up. And he responds and says, Daddy, I want you to know I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Amen. I think that's the way we get with God sometimes, ain't it? Lord, I'm doing what I've got to do on the outside, but I'm doing what I don't want to do on the inside. I might still be here in my body, but my heart's in Tarshish. My heart's headed a different direction. And I just wonder, has God been calling you, maybe, to do something for His glory? Yeah, that's what He was doing in Jonah's life. He was calling Jonah to do a good thing and for His glory, something that God would get glory in. You know, anything we do for God is for His glory. He gets glory in it. We're so self-centered. We're so focused on ourselves. Even our religion nowadays has become so much about ourselves. What can I get out of it? What can God do for me? What need can God meet for me? And how can He bless me? All those things. And instead of thinking of our responsibility to God, it's all about our privileges that we have. Listen, we need to lay aside the privileges sometimes and take upon ourselves the form of a servant. Because that's what Jesus did. Instead of always thinking, what can I do for me and how God can bless me and what all is God for me? And He has done a lot for us. Thank Him for it. But you know what living for the Lord is really about? It's really about doing things that He gets glory out of. It's really about living in such a way that the Lord gets glory out of my life. You know, that's what He said. That's what the letting your light so shine before men is all about. It's not about us being better. It's not about me being blessed. It's not everybody looking at me and seeing what a good Christian I am. It's not about being better than the church down the road or the Christian next door. That has got nothing to do with what that verse is about. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And that's what He was calling Jonah to do. He's calling him to do a good thing. Calling him to let his light so shine that God could get glory. And I just wonder, is God calling you to do something for His glory? Is there something that you really know God's been working into your heart and calling you to do? Is there something in your heart that you know that God's really been actually trying to work out of your heart, work out of your life, but you just keep hanging on to it? But either way, He's calling you to do it for His glory. Have you been taking a different path than His path? Well, I want you to know that you can run, but you're not going to hide. And you run long enough, you will wind up in this prison. God will persevere. If you're saved, if you're really saved, God's going to persevere in that thing. You're not going to get away with it. You're not going to persevere over Him. He's going to persevere over you. And so tonight, if that's the case, if God's really been working something in your heart and you know it, tonight would be a good night to tell Him you're through running. Lord, I'm going to pay my vows. Lord, I'm done running. I'm done going my own way. I'm just going to, by your grace, I'm going to give this thing to you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I know it's what you want me to do. You've been dealing my heart about it for a while. And just tell Him you're through running, through fighting. You're ready to go with God. The thing is, anytime we go with God, God always uses us, just like He did Jonah. Oh no, the greatest revival in the history of the world may not break out, but He will use you. You will be blessed. And most of all, He will be glorified. He'll be glorified. And that's the most important thing in all the world. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Lord, I thank You for helping us with the message tonight. I pray that You'll take it and use it in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray if there'd be any here among us tonight, Lord, that are going their own way, going their own path. Lord, they know what You've been speaking to their heart about, but they just have decided to go the opposite direction, not wanting to go Your way. Lord, I pray that You would help them tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd do a work. I pray, Lord, that You'd do a work in all of our hearts, Lord, that we'd go with God, Lord, we'd not go our own way, have to wind up in the prison of perseverance. I pray that You'd do a great work among us, help our church, bless down the altar call, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.